The policy of social distancing and social isolation to combat the spread of coronavirus is challenging everywhere. In capitalist liberal democracies like Australia, collective ideals can play second fiddle sometimes to individualistic concerns. But social distancing relies on individuals to accept and act on a moral obligation to protect others and the whole of society. For most Australians, social distancing is an unfamiliar concept that's been implemented suddenly. Philosopher Stephanie Collins studies collective action and group ethics, and she's Associate Professor at the Australian Catholic University. Thanks for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Can I start by asking you to just flesh out what you see as the moral basis of the obligation of social distancing?
Of course, yeah. So there are roughly two ways in which this virus might play out in Australia. So the first is that our healthcare system really struggles, and a lot of people die. The second is that our healthcare system kind of copes okay. I mean, that's in broad brush terms, right? There's those two options. Now, if you refuse to follow the guidelines on physical distancing, and I should say as well, I kind of like calling it physical distancing rather than social distancing,
absolutely.
Because of course, you know, phone conversations and video chats are very, very important for all of us. So if you refuse to follow the guidelines on physical distancing, then how does that play out in these two scenarios? Well, the first scenario, right, is one in which the healthcare system struggles, people are, you know, not able to get the ICU care that they need. In that case, if you haven't followed the guidelines, you're a culpable contributor to those people's deaths from a moral perspective. So I'll give you an analogy. Philosophers love analogies. Suppose there's a crowd at the bottom of a cliff, right? And you and thousands of others are standing at the top of the cliff next to a massive boulder, right? And you and all these other people push the boulder off the cliff onto the crowd below, and the crowd dies. Have you done something wrong? Clearly you have,
yes,
right?
that was where I was headed.
Yeah, clearly. Now, philosophers will debate how exactly we should understand what you've done wrong, but the details there don't really matter. That's a moral wrong that you've done, even though you were acting as one of many, and even though you couldn't have pushed the boulder by yourself. You yourself are not going to cause our healthcare system to collapse, but you're one of many that might, and you'd be culpable for that. So that's in the first scenario. Second scenario, our healthcare system does okay. In that kind of scenario, if you don't follow the physical distancing guidelines, then philosophers would call you a free rider. So basically the thought here is the only way that that's going to work, that our healthcare system will be okay, is if a lot of people do physical distancing. And if everyone else puts in the effort and you don't, then you're free riding on their efforts. So that analogy here would be like the boulder's rolling down the hill, it's going to hit some people, everyone else sort of jumps up to stop it and they succeed in stopping it, but you just sort of sat on the sidelines drinking a beer, you know, even though you weren't sure that enough other people had stepped in to stop it. So that's how it would play out in those two different scenarios. And that's the basis of the obligation. If you don't do it, you're either culpably causing deaths or you're free riding.
We're speaking with philosopher Stephanie Collins, who studies collective action and group ethics at the Australian Catholic University. Stephanie, how do you think those sort of individual philosophical quandaries interact with sort of broader societal themes like the sort of dominant ethos of the individual in our society?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I mean, the thing to think about here is the way in which Australia contrasts with somewhere like China, right? So in China, of course, we saw large-scale lockdowns for a very long time. The government has ruled out short-term lockdowns here. It seems sort of a bit unclear what they're going to do for the longer term. But in Australia, we have these fundamental freedoms. We have freedom of association, freedom of movement. You know, this is all the part of the constitution of our society. So we're really not used to being told who we can hang out with and where we can go and so on. And those freedoms are very important. So I think the way we need to think about this in a liberal society like Australia is that individuals need to take responsibility for how they exercise their freedoms. So it's important that we retain our freedoms. Otherwise, you know, we may as well be living in an authoritarian regime. But that means that the onus is on each of us to think individually about how we're going to exercise those freedoms to avoid the kinds of complicity that I talked about earlier.
But of course, we are aware at the moment of the awesome power of the government to impose outcomes and obligations, and there's debate about whether they have done enough or too little of that. Do philosophers also look at the philosophical and, I suppose, ethical obligations of the state and governments as opposed to individuals?
Absolutely, we do. We're facing a situation now where the ideals that philosophers and societies like Australia have always held up for governments are really being tested. From a governmental perspective, in terms of what the state has to do, it's got to make the best call for the society as a whole. And in some cases, doing the best thing by everyone, pursuing the common good, pursuing the societal good, will require restrictions on those freedoms that we are used to. Now, of course, once this crisis is over, those freedoms, the state would have an obligation to bring those freedoms back in. But the state has responsibility for all of us, and that might require some restrictions in the short term.
Mm. And what about philosophical consideration of non-government institutions and organisations, say like companies, businesses, and I suppose in particular, we're all very much focused on social media at the moment.
Yes, excellent question. So in my research, I examine the obligations of group entities understood as kind of agents in their own right, things like states and businesses. And I've argued that businesses have a wide range of obligations, much wider than we commonly accept, for things like climate change and so on. And that's going to extend to our present circumstances. So employers, insofar as they can, I think, have obligations now to allow or even demand that people work from home, that people engage in staggered shifts, so to not have too many people in the workplace at one time, so on and so forth. Now, of course, the government's going to also have obligations to support employers in that, financially speaking. But in the first instance, the employers will have to take those measures. As for social media, fake news has always been a problem. It's obviously a problem in our present crisis as well. It's not helped by the fact that groups like Facebook apparently are testing their community standards using bots. So algorithms basically are determining whether your post on Facebook abides by community standards. So again, there's an obligation there for social media organizations to really step in and view themselves as citizens in the world and citizens in their own country. And again, they have an obligation to do what they can for the greater good, just as we all do.
Well, Stephanie Collins, thank you very much for running us through the philosophical impacts of the pandemic this morning on Sunday Extra.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's philosopher Stephanie Collins, who studies collective action and group ethics as an associate professor at the Australian Catholic University.